Joining us on the line is one of the researchers behind the study, Robert Norman, a professor of reproductive periconceptional medicine at the University of Adelaide. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Sean and listeners.
Thanks very much for joining us. Now, looking at this particular technique, I want to try and get this one, the hysterosal pingogram. What does it actually involve?
So it's a rather old-fashioned technique whereby dye is injected through the woman's fallopian tubes from through the vagina, and an X-ray is taken to make sure that the dye is actually coming out. So it's been in use for more than 100 years, and there have been different chemicals used to visualize the tube. And over the past two or three decades, we've moved away from oil-based treatment to water-based because they appear to be safer. But there's always been the suggestion that pregnancies might be improved by using an oil-based system. So this is the first study to definitively show that using an oil-based flushing not only tells us the state of the tubes, but induces pregnancies in a large number of people in the months that follow.
So how would it work? I mean, if we use this technique to induce a pregnancy, how would that actually occur?
There are a number of theories, none of which are proven. The first is that one could envisage the kind of plugs of mucus within the fallopian tube that stop the egg and the sperm getting together. And there's just a physical flushing of those mucus plugs. The second is that it irreversibly changes the lining of the womb so that when an embryo turns up, it's more prone to implant. And the third is that it somehow changes the immune system so that any embryo that's around is accepted rather than rejected.
If this sort of technique's been around since 1917, we've been using it for the last 100 years and these theories have been floating around for a while, why is it that this is the first study that's actually come up with these kind of results, these kind of results that would go towards proving those theories?
Well, I think the thing is that we in medicine often have theories that certain things work or don't work. But until we actually do proper, well-conducted research trials, you can never be absolutely sure because it just depends on one person saying, this is my experience, and that's not very reliable.
Mm.
To do a research trial needs a lot of money, and you need a grant to do that, and costs several million dollars. So until you can convince people who hand out the money to finance a study like this, you'll never be absolutely sure. And now we are sure. Before that, people who said, look, we think it works, they were right, but we didn't have enough evidence to move that way.
Mm. So looking at some of the costs and some of the uncertainties around IVF, how would this compare? If this was to, essentially, this study proves these theories, it comes up with some ways of implementing it as a procedure to improve fertility, how would it stack up compared to IVF?
It's probably about one-tenth of the cost of going through an IVF
one-tenth.
Cycle.
Wow.
And it has long-term effects. So that it's going to be repeatable in subsequent months. So it's certainly very cost effective. And the other great thing is it can be ordered by any general practitioner and it can be done by any radiology department. One doesn't need to go to a fertility clinic to get it. But I do want to emphasize that the only people who are going to benefit by this are those who've been investigated. Nothing abnormal has been found, and then you move to treatment. So if someone's got blocked tubes or very little sperm, this is not going to work.
What is the actual next step if we were confirming this research and moving forward to implementing this in more cases? What's your next step?
I think the next step is to get the information out to patients and to doctors that for certain people this is a therapeutic option. And our whole aim in fertility medicine is to try and move away from IVF and get natural conceptions because we think babies are better that way and obviously it's much cheaper for families to be created that way.
Mm.
So a lot of it is to do with our now going out and working out the education. We don't want this to be used on people where IVF is absolutely necessary. And so we've got to work out some mechanism of informing the average general practitioner and gynecologist of the sort of patient who's going to benefit from it.
Well, Robert, thank you very much. It's absolutely intriguing, fantastic research. Really appreciate you joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about it.
Thank you, Sean.